Hello, and welcome to Healthy Bites, an all-encompassing podcast about your health from the Audrain County Health Department. Each week, we hope the information you hear on this show from a variety of experts in Audrain County, the state of Missouri, and the world will positively impact your health and your health decisions. We appreciate you taking the time out of your day to give us a listen. Now, on with the show with your host, Chris Newbrough.
Thanks and welcome to another edition of the Healthy Bites podcast here at the Audrain County Health Department. I've got an old friend of the show here with me this week, and that is Norman Steelman. He is the Audrain County, Missouri Department of Conservation Conservation Agent. How are you, sir?
I'm all right. How about yourself?
Can't complain. Can't complain. Well, we're getting into the warmer weather this time of year, so I wanted to bring you in, talk some things about warm weather. And one of those things is that we I don't think we've ever talked radio career, and now I don't think we've ever talked about
very little on boating.
Yeah, boating and water safety.
Yeah, and it's one that in my job I do deal with some.
Right,
we don't the Missouri Department or Highway Patrol Water Division does
right.
The accidents, and they do the drownings and stuff like that.
Sure,
but a lot of times I'm out there and I see different stuff too.
Right,
so I end up having to deal with it as well.
Well, let's talk about. As far as, you know, fishermen, there's a lot of boating that goes on around this area, even
there
on
is.
The small lakes.
Yeah, and I've been doing this for a while, long enough to know that people don't always think sometimes.
Right.
And things can happen at times that you don't think that they ever would.
Right.
I remember it's been a long time ago when I was in a different area, but it was in the middle of April. Water temperatures were around 60 degrees. Crappie were starting to bite real good,
mm-hmm.
and it was a decent-sized department-owned lake. Guy's dog jumped into the water. He decided to jump in as well, and after the dog was fine, but the guy never did come back.
Oh, my.
He went and took a few strokes going after the dog, and that was his body went into shock, and he went down. Never said a word, never screamed.
Right, right.
You always watch movies, and on drownings, you see everybody
flailing
just flailing and screaming. That's not the way that usually happens.
Wow.
It's usually very quiet because somebody's body, they either just give out or they go into shock and down
sink.
They go.
Yeah.
And 60-degree waters.
Is that the main concern there is hypothermia with
that
with
your
water
body
safety?
Goes? Yeah. On that one, actually the hypothermia leads to drowning. The body gets just a shade colder
mm-hmm.
and you go into a shock and then your body ceases to be able to do anything.
Right.
Of course, that guy wasn't wearing a life jacket.
Right.
The life jacket, it saves you whenever that happens.
Right,
it's
right.
not going to save you from the hypothermia that you may get if it's real cold water.
Right.
But it will save you from that shock of the initial hit of it and then going
and
under.
And drowning.
Yeah.
The drowning is the cause. Wow.
Yeah.
It might be hypothermia get you, but it's not going to be drowning.
It's not going to be the drowning, yeah.
Right, right.
So you start talking about cold water, and anytime you're below the body temperature, mm-hmm. it's colder than what you are.
Right,
so,
right.
It's sucking energy out of you.
Well, the big thing this time of year also, lakes are turning over.
Yeah.
And so you're bringing up colder water to the top that's got to warm.
Yep. You get those convections on the sides.
Yeah, so it might be 85 temperature-wise, temperature-wise, but you're still looking at 60
degrees.
That water's
still 60 or colder.
Right, right.
And that's pretty common for the spring. People don't tend to think that water, whenever you pull up a fish and that fish feels cold,
mm-hmm.
they don't think about what it'd do to your body once you get in there.
True, so, true. What do you need to look out for when you're on a private lake, let's say a private lake,
mm-hmm.
what do you need to look out for if you got a boat? Because some of those boats are just basically, I don't know how to, a floating tin can.
Yeah.
There's not much structure to them is what I'm getting
at. Yeah, and that's, I've seen a lot of different things in my career. Every boat's got a weight limit.
Okay.
A boat, they should have some type of placard on it from the Coast Guard, what that weight limit is.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good operational weight limit to go and realize what it is. They,
mm-hmm.
they put motor limits on there. As well, and that's a good operational limit to go on.
Motor limits as far as RPMs and
no, as far as
horsepower,
size, horsepower usually.
Right, right, RPMs.
Yeah.
Horsepower.
but you start talking about how much weight you got in there compared to the vessel itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen guys way overload them before, and you're at a point then where if you don't have much freeboard above your water line to the top of your gunwale, then you'd be looking at going and sinking pretty easy.
Wow.
You got to think about swamping too whenever you're operating a boat.
What do you mean by swamping? I mean
the coming over from the backside.
Okay. So yep. is that happening from, when you're powering down kind of?
Typically it happens whenever you're going backwards. your stern's not made to go forward in water or in high waves.
Okay.
You get some waves and they can come over pretty easy in the backside. So if you got a heavier motor, that's going to sit that down. So you got to think about that as well.
Nice. Now, say you're out on the lake, you're on a private lake. Give me some tips on what you should do if you do go into it. Just give me some tips before you go in.
The biggest tip to go before you go, wear a life jacket. So if you're on waters of the state, a private lake's different.
Yeah.
But if you're on waters of the state, which that would include anything owned by the Department of Conservation, any state agency, any municipality, stuff like that would be all waters of the state. You're required to have a life jacket. That doesn't matter if you're on a kayak, a canoe, anything. You're required to have a life jacket, not on you, but at least nearby reaching distance.
So non-motored water vehicles as well, huh?
Yeah, correct. Kayaks, everything.
Sure. Yeah.
So you're required to have that at least with you. If you're 7 years or younger, that person's required to have it on.
To have it on.
And that's the responsibility of the adult.
Right.
So that would be two things you can get tickets for, not having that or then not having it on a juvenile. That's the biggest two things right off the bat.
Also, I imagine, tell somebody you're going out.
Yeah. Tell somebody you're going out. That way they know where they're going. So that way, if something that's hunting, that's anything.
Sure.
Whenever we do hunter aid, we teach about a hunt plan. That's one of the first things you want to tell somebody where you're going. That way, if you don't come back, somebody can start looking for you.
Right, and have an area to go.
Correct.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
How big of a problem on private lakes? I know, and I know you deal with mainly state waterways, but you deal with private lakes too. You get landowners that complain or whatever, and want you to investigate stuff. How big of a deal are stumps, things like that, out in the water? That could cause you to go into the water.
Yeah, and we get that everywhere. So a lot of our lakes, they may be electric only, and that might be the reason why you see part of that being electric motors only.
And that would like be trolling motors.
Trolling motors, okay, yeah. All right, and that would be a reason why.
Okay.
You get any obstruction underneath and you hit it, and it's a bad day.
Right.
So if you're under power and you're going pretty good, you look at losing a lower unit out of your motor, so then you're stranded.
Losing propeller.
Yeah. Yep. Also all up to throwing you out of the boat.
And sure.
Then you got another problem.
Right.
What
should you do? I mean, if you do hit a stump and you go into the water, are there things that you can do to help yourself survive?
Yeah, there is things if you fall into the water. If you're clothed, it sounds odd, but those clothing, you can use that as a flotation device, like jeans.
Okay.
You got to pull them off.
Right.
Then like on jeans, you tie up the legs into knots. And then you start going and putting them or trying to suck water or air into it.
Right, right.
And then after you can get some air into them by going and putting it over top of the water and putting it back under, it kind of helps you as a flotation. It's not the greatest thing,
sure,
but it helps you.
Anything to keep your head above.
Exactly. You can do that with a shirt.
Right.
It's extremely hard to swim in clothes.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't matter how. It doesn't matter how cold you are, as far as if you're in the water, you're going to be cold.
Correct.
So would it help to strip?
If on that one right there, if you can do that with something, a clothing item, yeah, it would help you because you're able to use that as a small flotation.
I'm just thinking about weight, the weight of the clothing.
And the weight does make it harder.
Right. So it would be easier to strip it off and try and swim.
That would be something you could try.
Yeah.
If you're going to be able to swim.
Yeah.
if you're not looking at being able to swim easy, you're looking at trying to float, and right. sooner or later your body's going to give out.
So. Well, I was thinking on a private lake. Most private lakes aren't that large, so you could probably swim to the shore if you can strip down, because otherwise you'd be weighted down.
Correct. Yep.
I don't know. My mind's just working right now.
I forgot what I was going to say. But, no, that would be one thing that could help you out. You start looking at wanting to bring your legs into your chest, too, if you can, especially in colder water. You want to keep your body heat centralized.
Oh, I see.
Around
I see.
Your core.
I see.
So if you can float and have your legs up closer to your chest, that right. works pretty good. If you got other people, everybody get in a big ball and try to float that way.
Nice.
And then the acronym was helping. I can't remember what the HELP stands for. But heat escape lessening position.
Okay.
That would be pulling your knees up to your chest and kind of like in a fetal position if you can stay in that position.
Gotcha.
Because you're going to keep more heat in.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's talk shore fishing. A lot of people shore fish.
Mm-hmm.
Rivers, lakes, private lakes, conservation lakes. What are some dangers to look out for there? Because I know there's animals that have holes and stuff like that can pitch you into the water.
Oh, yeah. If you happen to see where you got beavers at and that type of stuff, you want to pay attention to that because you're going to have logs. And you might end up running into stuff. Down south, we had cypress knees and those things. Cypress knees.
Cypress knees.
Cypress. So cypress trees. We got a few up here, but
if
you have one of them that's close to water, they'll have an upgrowth into the water from the roots.
Okay.
And those are something that good Lord, they'll twist an ankle and you'll go into water in a heartbeat.
Cypress knees.
Yeah, knees, like your knee.
Cypress knees.
Cypress, yep.
Okay, cypress. Okay. Yep. I thought you were saying cypress, like, sneeze.
No. Nah. It's something you typically see in wetlands.
Okay. So you're talking about the roots being exposed out of the water.
Yeah, the roots. They actually grow up and go up out of the water.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I think we just had a sonic boom.
It wouldn't surprise me. It'll be on Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
It will. But as far as, besides the cypress trees and their exposed roots, what are some other hazards you need to look out for on shore?
On shore, and this one, it deals with fishing, but it also deals with swimming. Line. You get somebody that's been fishing and they lose their line.
Right.
You get hooks in the water, you get line. Yeah. It's something you need to watch with your kids because they won't realize it's there. And here you got a kid with a hook in their foot.
Right.
That's a bad day.
Yeah.
So,
Wow. I didn't even thought about that.
Yeah.
But you get tangled up in that too and it could drag you into the water or fall into
the water.
It
could be a bad deal.
Yeah, it could be. If you're onshore and you fall, are there some things you can do to help yourself?
It depends on where you fall into. A lot of times you're going to be able to just stand right back up. I've had that happen myself. Even in a boat, you fall out. First thing to do, you might be able to stand where you're at.
Oh, true.
Yeah. So if you can stand where you're at, that's one of those things that you go and you're able to do, and then, hey, you're fine.
Right.
But we've had people that they've drowned in very shallow water just because they didn't think about standing up.
2 inches
water. Yeah. They got panicked, and once the panic hit, then it was a cascading event where they didn't realize. Yeah, they were in 3 foot of water. They could have stood up and they'd been fine.
Yeah. But is there anything else dealing with water safety? I mean, should you wear a life jacket while on shore?
It depends. It's not, especially with kids, it's a pretty good idea with kids.
Okay.
An adult, typically if you're on shore, unless you're, fishing over the top of a dock with deep water underneath, you probably don't need any type of flotation around.
Or fast water running by.
Yeah. Or fast water run by. Yep. Yeah. But even here, we got a dock in Mexico that's got 35 foot of water underneath of it.
Teal Lake?
Oh yeah. Teal Lake. Really? Yeah. I mean, you go off the end of that there from the parking lot, you're in 35 foot of water right off the bat, and it just drops straight off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an old clay pit. Some of those clay pits just drop.
Oh, yeah, they're 100 and some feet deep.
One's not 100 feet but it drops off pretty quick. So, I mean, if you think about that, you fall into that.
Yeah. And that water gets cold pretty quick.
Yeah, that's usually one of our last lakes in the area to kind of warm up, the bottom of it, the way it's made, the bottom of it, it doesn't like to turn over.
Huh.
Because it's just the... It's straight down in places.
Right, exactly, so. Exactly. Okay, cool. Let's see. We talked about water safety. Anything else with that topic you want to talk about?
Yeah, alcohol.
Oh!
Yeah, boating and that type of stuff, yeah.
See, it's Missouri. I don't know what you're talking about.
whenever I got to looking at some stats before I came in today.
Sure, and, go. Yeah.
Typically, you're looking at about 25 to 30% of boating accidents in Missouri involve alcohol. Last year, half of our fatality, or well, that had been 2022. They don't have the last year stats out yet. But 2022, half the fatalities in Missouri involved alcohol. So,
wow.
Unfortunately, that's something that most people probably don't even think about. You're going out there and having a good time.
It's not, you don't think, you don't equate it to as you're driving a car.
And it's no different.
Exactly, yeah.
And the only brakes you got is letting off the throttle.
Right. So, and a big wave to slow you down.
Yeah,
you know?
That's the only brakes you got. Unfortunately, over time, I've seen bad things happen with alcohol. A few years back, I was up on Mark Twain Lake and had a father and a daughter go and wreck into each other on...
jet skis?
On jet skis, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fortunately, I think no fatalities out of it, fortunately.
That's good.
One of them got banged up pretty good. Yeah. Got hit by a jet ski. So,
ow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was alcohol related. Wow. It's higher than what you get on the road typically even.
Wow.
Accidents. Just, it's what it is.
Yeah. So if you're going to drink, make sure you got a sober driver out
make
there.
Make sure
you have
a sober driver. Yep. And experience goes onto that too. Most accidents having experienced drivers on the water. So experienced operators help.
Yeah, true. So all right. Is there any kind of current issues we have to worry about as far current as in water moving? Do you have to worry about that in lakes? And I know you do in rivers and streams.
The bigger in lakes is your wind. You get wind just throwing you around, causing waves in lakes and stuff like that.
So the current wouldn't really be a big deal in the lake?
Most of them, no.
Gotcha.
You can get some currents, but not like the Missouri or anything like that. Typically,
right. Okay. We got hunting to talk about. You know, this surprised me. We've got seasons coming up. I didn't realize turkey season. You equate turkey with fall because of Thanksgiving.
Oh, I always do spring because and we're gonna have some changes this year too. Okay. Youth season the last few years. Which that one is April 6th and 7th, so it's not that far away. It's been all-day hunting for youth season for
gun?
The last few years.
Youth gun?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. This year we're going to change that to being for the whole season on private areas. So on department ground, it's going to end at 1 o'clock, but all private ground, it's going to be all-day hunting.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
That's one of those things.
That sun up to sundown or an hour before sunup and an hour, hour after sundown?
You're looking from an hour before to sunset.
Okay.
So, yeah, that'll be a little bit of a change because we do get other uses during the spring as well. I know some people, they love to mushroom hunt.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Morels.
Morels is typically that time of the year.
Right.
You do have that user conflict where you get morel hunters out looking for that, and then you get somebody turkey hunting.
So both should be wearing orange.
Well, I won't say wearing orange. If you're turkey hunting, you don't usually wear orange. You're usually camoed up.
Oh, really?
Season. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's something that's pretty common.
Is that because turkeys can see the orange?
They see movement very well.
Oh, okay.
Movement's more than anything.
And with orange, it would be more pronounced movement.
Yeah, they can see that color, but not quite as good as we can.
Right,
It's just in the visual spectrum.
Gotcha.
The bigger thing is it's more blocky. They'll notice that type
of
stuff.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
But your morel hunters out walking around, especially if you're wearing blue... browns, those type of colors.
Yeah.
And you're used to not having any turkey hunters after 1 o'clock, that's going to change.
Okay.
So the blue and the brown, those are really common. Reds, that's turkey or colors you see in a turkey.
Oh, okay. I was wondering why you were naming off colors. I'm like,
yep.
Okay,
yep. Blue,
I get it now.
Red, browns.
Okay.
those colors you see in turkeys.
That makes sense. So you see, you see that blue or brown or red flashing through the woods. You don't know.
No.
Boom. Yeah.
And that's your hunter needs to identify the target
right
before they do anything. But
sometimes they don't.
Sometimes they don't. It's kind of like driving. Somebody needs to yield before they make a turn. Sometimes they don't. They pull right in front of you.
Right.
But on the hunter's end, you got to identify your target too.
Any kind of special license or anything needed for turkey hunting?
You got to get your turkey tag.
Got to get a turkey tag. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
So that's the biggest thing on that. And boating. You got to get a license for boating if you're born after 1984 or after.
You have to have a special license?
Yeah. There's a boating license.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
You guys are going to take a test and everything?
It's an online test.
I did not know that.
Yeah, you go to the Highway Patrol website,
yeah,
and they've got the boating license. You can actually get the endorsement on your driver's license. So,
wow.
Yeah, they used to not be able to do that, but yeah, I think it's January 1st, 1984. Don't quote me on that.
All right.
If you're younger than that, which that's, yeah, you're looking at now a 40-year-old.
Right, right.
So
Stop it. I graduated in 84.
Yeah, I'm a few years younger. But that's one thing that you got to get. So,
wow.
Before you can operate a boat.
Good information, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you coming in.
Oh, same here. I always enjoy it.
All right. That is Norman Steelman. He is with the Missouri Department of Conservation, and he's the conservation agent for the County of Audrain. And this is the Healthy Bites Podcast. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Audrain County Health Department's Healthy Bites Podcast. We hope you will join us again next week as we bring you more discussion on health matters affecting Audrain County residents and the world with your host, Chris Newbrough. If you liked what you heard here, you can find out more information on our website, myachd.org. That's myachd.org. Thanks for listening. See you next week.